And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Well, folks, we've got an additional dimension added to the awakening here on American Family Radio. I am now live streaming. So if you want to check me out on live stream, you can go to Facebook, E.W. Jackson SR. You can go to the YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. And let's see, I think there's one other place, but I'll get that to you. This is a surprise, of course, to everybody, because I didn't know we were going to be starting today. But from this point forward, you can check me out live, assuming I'm on live. You can check me out live on, of course, American Family Radio. You can listen to us on a local radio station near you. You can listen to us on your app, on your smartphone or your tablet, AFR, the American Family Radio app, or AFR.net. You can go straight to the web and listen to it. Or now you can also check me out on Facebook as well. So I'm very, very grateful for this. I love this. I think this is another opportunity to connect with more people. So please like the program. Oh, and do check out AFR.net, because all of these programs are podcasted. They are archived there. So you can listen to any program. And I know watching on video is a little less convenient, because if you're driving, you can't do that. If you're doing something else that requires your attention, you can't do that. But audio, you can listen to anywhere, anytime. You can be shaving and listening to the program. So do take advantage of that. That's a very important part of our ability to engage our audience. And you can also share with other people who might not be in a position to watch or listen to the program live at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to secondly thank all of you for your help last week in Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. First of all, I want to thank my partner, Fred Jackson, who really did a great job. I love Fred, and he comes, because he's a newsman, he comes with a compendium of facts and information about any topic you want to bring up. And the two of us play off of each other very well, Jackson and Jackson. So thanks, Fred, wherever you are. My thanks to you, my friend, for a very successful Share-a-thon on the Awakening and for the network. Thank you all for your support for the network last week. Here again, we do that twice a year because we just don't believe in coming to you begging for money all the time. But we are a nonprofit network, and we do run by the generosity and the contributions and donations of our listeners. And we tell you, we mean it when we say, I'll tell you, we mean it when we say we love you all. We appreciate you all, because, you know, we have volunteers come from all over the country to be there and to take your calls. Volunteers just coming because they want to help us. And believe me, we don't take that for granted. We are extremely grateful to you and to all of those who pray for us and support us in whatever way they can. So God bless each and every one of you. I said several times last week, you know, we offer something unique. And by the way, because I know that my listeners are extremely intelligent and very well informed, please tell me if you know of another network like this somewhere else, broadcasted by someone else, something else. I don't know of any. I don't know of any other radio network that brings you biblical worldview on the issues, the gospel of Jesus Christ in teaching and preaching, and even some music as well, and the news, all brought to you by Christians from a Christian and biblical perspective. And I'll tell you, I am honored. I really am honored to be a part of this great enterprise. And, oh, and by the way, wow, this was a revelation, folks. I'm serious. I did not know that I am in the spot that the great Don Wildman once occupied. And I know he probably would be a little embarrassed for me to call him the great Don Wildman, but I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the fruit that God has borne through that man's life is just amazing, just amazing. And I am awed by it, frankly. You know, it reminds me of D.L. Moody hearing a pastor say, "It is yet to be seen what God could do with one man who is completely committed to him. And I think there have been many such men. I think, obviously, D.L. Moody was one of them. I think Don Wildman is one of them, D.L. Moody has gone on to be with the Lord. Don Wildman's still with us. And he and his wife, Linda, are definitely, they are gems in the body of Christ. And I, the fact that I sit in his seat, you know, it's like, wow, what an honor. I don't think it was planned that way by anybody, but what an honor to do that. You all hear his commentary every day, I think right before, after the second segment. And he always has interesting stories to tell and that homespun biblical wisdom to share with us that always encourages me. Sometimes it makes me laugh or it inspires me, and I hope you feel the same. So I'll tell you, folks, it is great. But that brings me to the first subject I want to discuss. Because, you know, I consider myself to be a relatively sophisticated consumer of news. I mean, when I say relatively, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm skeptical about the things that I see and hear, and I'm always looking for, you know, what angle am I being sold here? Because a lot of the news these days is not intended to give you facts and information or intended as a search for the truth. It is intended to indoctrinate you, to program you, to frankly mesmerize you with falsehood and hope that you eventually buy into it. And I don't consider myself to be terribly susceptible to that. But I'll tell you something, folks. I got caught. Now, not terrible, but I did get caught. Last week, right not far from where I live, a little town here in Southeast Virginia called Windsor, two police officers, you probably saw the news, two police officers stopped an active duty lieutenant in the Army, pulled him over, ended up pepper spraying him. And I think one of the officers has already been fired, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll double check that. But I think one of the officers has already been fired. It certainly is in trouble. And the thing that the mainstream media highlighted was the officer saying to that the Army officer saying to the police officers, what's going on? What's going on? And one of the police officers answering, you're about to ride the lightning bolt, son, or something like that. You're about to ride the lightning bolt, son. And you just listen to just what I've described, and that doesn't sound good. I mean, it sounds like a kind of threat. And, you know, I commented that that's not the kind of thing an officer, and I still believe that, by the way, that's not the kind of answer an officer needs to be giving to someone when they ask that question. You need to give them a professional answer. Rather than, you know, an answer that is intended to maybe scare them or intimidate them or something like that. I mean, it can be firm and it can be, you know, unequivocal, but it also needs to be professional. Well, one of my staff members, in fact, our field director, sent me this morning a full copy of the video that has not been shown to the public, but was shown by Brandon Tatum, who is, I guess he's got a blog called, I think it's called the Officer Tatum. But he showed the entire video and commented because he is a former police officer. And folks, I'll tell you what, that thing completely blew out of the water anything anybody thought they knew based on the reporting of the mainstream media. Even I got fooled. I'll tell you how in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Crime is dramatically increasing in cities where police department funding has been reduced. That shouldn't come as a big surprise and is well documented in a commentary that violent crimes spike in cities that defunded the police. More than 20 major cities have slashed their police budgets. Let's look at a few examples. Murders in Portland tripled from July 2020 to February 2021. This took place after city commissioners voted to cut nearly $16 million from the police budget in response to complaints about police force and racial injustice. Homicide rates in Oakland, California spiked dramatically after city leaders set as their goal to cut the police budget in half. For example, homicide rose 314% compared to the same time last year, while firearm assaults rose by 113%. In New York City, the city council slashed $1 billion from the police budget last summer. They already had seen 76 murders this year and 220 reported shootings. Minneapolis has been in the news, of course, ever since George Floyd died in police custody. The city council decided to divert more than $1 million from the police department budget to the Office of Violence Prevention and another $8 million to violence prevention programs. Chicago has also seen a surge in gun crimes after the Cook County Board of Commissioners voted to redirect money from arresting people and locking them up to housing, health care, and job creation. Homicides were up 33% in the first 3 months of this year compared to last year. You know, none of these sobering statistics should come as a surprise. Months ago, I predicted that there would be a crime spike in cities that cut law enforcement budgets. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Racism, go to viewpoints.info/racism. That's viewpoints.info/racism. A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
In declaring U.S. independence from Great Britain, our founding fathers in our Continental Congress acted, quote, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, end of quote. Our country was founded as a nation that recognized God and one that recognized the Judeo-Christian standards of morality as the foundation of our society and government. It is evident throughout our Declaration of Independence that the U.S. was not founded as a secular nation in which God is shut out from public life and government. It is this heritage that our children should be exposed to and taught in our schools, and ought to be respected by our nation's leaders.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Brian Fisher here. How will the jury rule in the Chauvin trial? They may acquit him, I'll tell you why. Maxine Waters is trying to start a civil war. The head of the teachers union fails abysmally at math. Bill Maher blames the media for liberal ignorance on COVID. Stanford proves why masks cannot possibly stop COVID. And Fauci loses a round to Jim Jordan. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, I'm getting good feedback that the Facebook live streaming is going well, that everything is synced up, things sound good, they look good. Things look good. I don't know about me, but things look good. So folks, those of you who love watching something live, you can now tune in and watch me as well as hear me on American Family Radio. We'll be live streaming to Facebook and to our YouTube channel. Now, look, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow, every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern time, we have a program. We have a conference call, really, called the National Awakening Conference Call. And I have various guests on that call. Last week, I had Eric Metaxas, who I'm sure most of you know of, Christian author, scholar, commentator, was a big Trump supporter, really still is. He was on with some really interesting commentary about where we are as a country. Well, I want you all to know, not every business person is buying into this ridiculous wokeness. And about 3 weeks ago, we had on Ken Abramson, who has been a very successful businessman in the finance industry. Tomorrow, we're having on Bill Walton, who is also a very successful businessman, but is an active conservative and trying to help the country right the ship of state and right the culture. And he's going to be talking to us. So I think you're going to find this very, very interesting and encouraging to know that the entire business community has not bought into this ridiculous mess that we're seeing coming from the likes of Coca-Cola and and Delta and even Walmart. But so make sure you check it out. Go to the website, standamerica.us, and just click on NAC or National Awakening Conference Call, and you'll get the call-in information there. It's just a one number dial in to be a part of the call. And we always have discussion so that you can actually ask questions of our guest. So that also makes it very, very interesting. And we take as many questions as we can in the time that the guest has to give us. It usually lasts about 45 minutes maximum. And I end with a little commentary on whatever is on my mind. And then, of course, I get ready to come on and be with you here on American Family Radio. Now, I said that my field director, in fact, I just got a text from him saying that the Facebook Live looks good. Pastor Marlon Sharp, who is field director for Staying True to America's National Destiny. But he sent me this video this morning. Now, I know Brandon Tatum. I don't know him well. I mean, he and I are close friends or anything, but I've met him and talked to him. Nice guy, former police officer. You know, I watched this entire video and his presentation, and he took it from beginning to end, from the time the police first encountered the car. I think it might have included some of the time that they were actually following the car, because they followed this police lieutenant's car. Police, I keep confusing the two. They followed this army lieutenant's car for about a mile and a half with lights and sirens, and he did not pull over. And they were going to stop it because he did not have appropriate tags on his car. And when they finally pulled him over, unlike what the media presents, which is he's completely compliant, he's got his arms out the window saying, "What's wrong, officers?" And then some officer blurts out, "You're about to ride the lightning bolt, son." And folks, I realized that was all calculated to give an image of some kind of Southern sheriff accosting this. And it turns out we don't know whether he's black or Hispanic, or, and not that that should matter, but unfortunately it does. But the way they depicted it was this black or Hispanic lieutenant in the army is stopped and harassed by these racist police officers. You watch the whole video, it's an entirely different story. You see the guy in his car, the police officers are telling him to stick his hands out the window. He won't do it. And then when he finally, because he's got his elbow out the window, and look, he puts his phone up on his dashboard to film himself, and the look on his face is not a look of fear, trepidation, worry. The look on his face is one of sublime arrogance, like, yeah, right, these idiots have the nerve to stop me. I mean, just the look on his face just told it all. And he's not frightened. He's not expressing anxiety. And they keep giving him commands, and he won't obey the commands. He's doing his own thing. And they tell him, when they finally see his hands, then they say, "Well, get out of the car." He won't get out of the car. Now, they de-escalate, he points out, by putting away their guns, because they had guns drawn, because police officers get killed at routine traffic stops, folks. It happens all the time. You never know. So he's not responding. He's not obeying commands. He's asking this generic, what's going on? What's going on? And then he tries to play the military card. I'm serving my country, and you all treat me like this. Well, all he had to do was pull over. And he claims he was waiting for a lighted place to pull over. But I said to my church yesterday, I would not have led the police on a mile and a half chase looking for a dark. I'd have pulled over right where they stopped me. But then I'm not afraid of them. I don't feel like they're out to get me. I don't know that he did either, but I think he wanted to be a superstar. I think he wanted to make a splash, you know, getting his camera up and you know, having this arrogant look on his face. This is my moment. See, you see all of this in this video that the mainstream media didn't report any of this. And so Then they're speaking to him, telling him, get out of the car, get out of the car. He won't get out of the car. And then when they finally tried to get him to move, because as Tatum, a former police officer, explains, you don't want to reach into a car trying to unbuckle somebody and pull them out, because if they've got a gun, you don't know what the outcome of that could be. Or if they have a knife or they have a weapon, you are making yourself vulnerable in doing so. So they're trying to get him to obey their commands. And he's not cooperating at all. When they finally get him under control, and the police officers, the video shows them talking to him afterwards, they're very nice to the man, very nice to him. They said, look, you want to make a complaint out of this, we can go ahead and arrest you, take you in, and work it out in court. They said, or we can just chalk this up to a learning experience for all of us, and we can just let you go home. They said, but that's entirely up to you. And so obviously they ended up letting him go. But guess what? The mainstream media didn't report this either. He had a firearm strapped to his leg. I haven't heard that. Have you? He was armed. He was armed. And you would think, under those circumstances, since he's got a firearm on him, he would be very responsive to the police, because, I mean, you got a firearm. What are you going to do next? They don't know that, but they are always on guard because they know you can walk up. I mean, he showed a video of a police officer being shot dead. He walks up to the car. He asks the guy for his license and registration, and the guy gives him his license and registration. The guy's got a rifle in the car. He says, listen, he said, do you mind if I take that rifle until we get finished? I'll give it back to you and you can go on, because, you know, he apparently had it legally. And the officer steps back. I think he's on the other side when he's talking to him. And the guy grabs his rifle, jumps out of the car, and shoots the officer dead on the spot. And the guy had seemed perfectly nice, perfectly normal. Okay, sure, no problem. Here you go, license, registration. See, that's what police officers have to deal with. And you know, folks, I'm reversing my position, because that officer was fired. And now I realize he did make that statement. He did say, you're about to ride the lightning bolt, son, which he shouldn't have said. But when you see that in the context of everything that goes on, it becomes insignificant. The way the mainstream media portrayed it was, it was kind of the first thing that came out of his mouth. When in fact, what they were doing is trying to get him to comply with their commands. And he wasn't doing it. Now, I said all that to say this, folks. That's why we need an American Family Radio. Because what I just did for you, you won't hear that happening in the mainstream media. Now, I didn't come on the air and talk about that in that light, with my misperception of what actually went on based upon the reports I'd heard. I didn't come on the air and talk about it. But I might have, had I not seen the entire scenario portrayed. The entire scenario recorded in video, not just portrayed, recorded. That's why there needs to be an American Family Radio, folks. Because we're going to be honest with you here. We're not going to play games. We're not trying to push a narrative. What we are pushing here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. So thank you all for helping us to do that. Now, look, our country right now, think about this. We've got Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, that is on tinders right now. I mean, it is a potential explosive situation. We've got the trial of Derek Chauvin, that final arguments are now being made. And there's concern that if the jury doesn't come back with a guilty verdict, it is going to explode all over the country. And I've got another case that I'm going to mention to you, another situation that is just horrendous. What do we do, folks? We got to pray and believe God to wake our people up. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
The wall around the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt many times. One person who went down into immortality because he rebuilt the wall around the city was Nehemiah. Many times while Nehemiah was leading the reconstruction of that wall, he was tempted to quit. But each time he sent back the same message. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. The Jews had recently returned from exile and found the wall around the city of Jerusalem in shambles. They needed something to lift their dragging spirits. Nehemiah saw the need and set about doing something, rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah knew that positive action overcomes broken spirits. Nehemiah had something each of us needs in life, a purpose. God had given him the responsibility of rebuilding the wall. That was his purpose. Most people considered it an impossible job for Nehemiah to perform, but he didn't. There were those who sought to destroy Nehemiah, but he stood fast when they set a trap for him. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Now, Nehemiah wasn't bragging on himself nor his work. He was simply stating the fact that he had a purpose in life. The key to a useful life is purpose. Unless we have a purpose in life, we'll just go wandering aimlessly. And as most of us are aware, aimlessness is a big sickness in our world. Criticism didn't stop Nehemiah either. Even some of his own people criticized him. They became discouraged in their work. But whenever anyone tried to get Nehemiah to quit, his reply was always the same. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Nehemiah would never compromise his high purpose. Sanballat, an enemy, tried to persuade him to discuss the building of the wall. But Nehemiah simply sent back his standard answer. 5 times he was urged to discuss the situation. 5 times he sent back the answer, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. If Nehemiah had gone to discuss the situation, he would have been harmed and the wall would not have been rebuilt. But he knew that there are some things in life which one cannot compromise. Truth, justice, honor, duty, trust, and faith in God. These things are never to be placed on the bargaining table. Nehemiah had something all of us could use. He had staying power. His opposition sought to destroy him with ridicule, armed opposition, even peace talks. But he would not quit. He had hold of something great, a high and holy purpose, and he would not let go. Underlying all of Nehemiah's actions was something of very practical worth, a deep and abiding trust and faith in God. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. There were those who were far more intelligent than Nehemiah, far more powerful, even richer, but history has forgotten them. Nehemiah is remembered because he had a purpose in life, and he stuck to it despite great odds and temptation. Get hold of a great purpose in your life, and when you are tempted, send back these words. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. The number here is 888-589-8840 to call in, and we would love to hear from you on these issues. We've got all of these things going on. Here's one more case I want to mention. All of these cases of police interactions with citizens that have ended tragically. I've said many, many times, and God bless Brandon Tatum for his service to our country, to the police force, but I've said many, many times, and I say this with great respect for our police officers. Folks, I couldn't do that job. It is such a thankless task, and to think you don't have to intend to do something wrong. You don't have to be You don't have to intend to be violating the law. In the climate we are in, if you make a mistake, you could be second-guessed to the point where you not only lose your job, but you lose your freedom. You get put in jail. God bless the people who do that. Really, we should be thanking God for them every day instead of treating them like they're pariahs and they're criminals and they're people to be suspect and dishonored and disrespected. We should be thanking God every day for people who are willing, for the little money that they are paid, to go put their lives on the line and confront the danger that none of us wants to confront. Well, here's one more situation. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Apparently back in March, and I didn't catch this story when it happened, but I'm sure it must have made the news, but other things overshadowed it. A young 13-year-old kid, Adam Toledo, was killed by a Chicago police officer after being run down as a result of their being called to an incident where shots were fired. Apparently, 8 rounds were fired off. The police arrived. There were 2 people that they pursued who were apparently the folks who were responsible for the gunfire. One was a 21-year-old man, and the other was a 13-year-old boy by the name of Adam Toledo. Now, here's what the mainstream media doesn't seem to take any interest in. And by the way, so the police officer catches Adam Toledo, commands that he put the gun down. He clearly had the gun. And we haven't seen the video, but based on what they're claiming, he threw the gun down and turned toward the police officer. But the time lapsed between the moment he allegedly put the gun down and the moment he turned toward the police officer. You ready for this? 0.8 seconds. 0.8 seconds. Not 1 second, not 2 seconds, not 5 seconds, not 10 seconds. 0.8 seconds. That's the amount of time that police officer had to make a life or death decision about the situation, the circumstance he was in. Clearly, Adam Toledo had fired the weapon, that he had the firearm, because there was stippling found on his hands. In other words, the residue of gunpowder from firing the weapon. So he clearly fired it, clearly had it. They found it near him, and the 21-year-old that he was with was also arrested. Because Adam Toledo was dead, was arrested. Now, here's the thing that the mainstream media doesn't seem to want to deal with. It's kind of like the situation with the shooting of that massage parlor where you had, five Asians killed and then 3 people of other backgrounds. It was 2:30 in the morning in Chicago. 2:30 in the morning. Now, folks, the first question that comes to any reasonable adult's mind is, what in the world is a 13-year-old doing running the streets of Chicago at 2:30 in the morning? I tell you what, my wife and I have been blessed to raise 3 healthy children. And if you asked them whether they could have been out at 2:30 in the morning, they would look at you like you had 2 heads, because they would have known. That wouldn't even have been within the realm of possibility. Because, you know, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here, folks. But I had a habit. If my children told me, particularly when they got to be teenagers and they were going off doing things on their own, if my children told me they were going somewhere, I didn't do this all the time, but I would have a habit of sometimes showing up to where they were supposed to be. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, that's violating their privacy. Give me a break. You know, that's, I don't care about your privacy. You are living under my roof. I am feeding you, clothing you, taking care of you, and I am responsible for your safety and security. And yes, it wasn't because I thought my children were bad, because they were good kids. But, you know, they've got friends and they've got influences, and I just wanted to make sure that nobody got them off track. Where were the parents of this 13-year-old when he's running the streets with a 21-year-old with a gun in his hand? Now, see, folks, this is the same point I've made. Let me get to your calls. It was the same point I've made about this so-called, you know, epidemic of police brutality. There's not a single circumstance, including George Floyd, which was horrific. And I mean, what was done to George Floyd, I think it was wrong. It was wrong. But there's not a single situation where these things happen that somebody is not doing something that invites the scrutiny and involvement of police into their lives. I just read you out of Romans chapter 3. If you don't want to be accosted by the authority, I'm Jacksonizing this a little bit, but you get the point. If you don't want to be confronted by the authority, do what is good, and you will have praise of the same. And here again, I'm not saying that a person deserves to die because they're doing something bad, but the problem is when you get out there and you get in these streets and you start acting crazy and involving yourself in criminal activity and behavior, you are no longer in control of the situation and you cannot predict what will happen. Because police are human beings too. You just don't know. It can become volatile at a snap of the finger. Somebody ought to start saying what I'm saying, which is, how about we rebuild families? How about we teach children respect for authority? How about we get them off, tell them, stay off the streets? How about we hold these parents accountable and say, I want to know where the parents of Adam Toledo are. I can give you a guess. I won't, but I'd like to know. Where are they while their 13-year-old is running the streets of Chicago at 2:30 in the morning with a gun in his hand? And then we will blame the police. Let's go to your calls. All right, we've got Frank in Texas. Frank, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. I certainly agree with you that we need to behave more responsibly with our children and know where they are and what they're doing. And thank you for that. I would like to suggest something, though, emphasize the overall turmoil that our country's in. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I want to thank you for being a strong Christian voice in this time of turmoil. Based on principles of love and nonviolence of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and Martin Luther King, I offer the following. Number one, except for federal and state building installations, hang the American flag upside down in all states. Our country is in distress. Three, if required to wear a mask before entering a building, Trump supporters wear a Trump mask. More and more of us must stand together to derail this godless evil eye of the Marxists. Thank you for your courageous
work. All right,
well,
Frank, thank you for the call. Look, on the issue of turning the flag upside down, boy, I resist that because I know our country is in trouble. There's no question about it. Man, I have so much respect for that flag. I just hate to do that because it seems to me that the flag calls us to our higher selves and the higher nature of our country rather than the distress that it's in. Back in a moment.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
I loved it. I loved how biblically sound it was, all the scripture to back it up.
The testimonies, very powerful.
If it's a prodigal child that has just run away, or one that's caught up in same-sex attraction, there's hope in Jesus.
In His Image is now available on DVD and can be purchased in bulk to pass out to friends and family. Order today by visiting afastore.net.
Hello, this is Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we want to thank you here on behalf of our staff for a very wonderful share-a-thon. The Confident Hope Share-a-thon was a huge success, and we thank you for supporting our ministry here at AFA and AFR. We couldn't do it without you. We're a listener-supported Christian radio ministry. God is blessing us. We're going to grow our network and reach more people for Christ. Thanks again.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
I had a mother share this with me recently.
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
And she said, I was shocked when my daughter said to me, I feel like I don't ever have your full attention. When I'm talking to you, you're always doing something. You've got the phone you're looking at, you've got the computer you're on, and I don't ever feel like I have your full attention. And her mother said, I didn't realize that. You know, and we don't realize that.
Sure.
You know, so as adults, we have to think in terms of our own use of technology, because we may be setting for them an example and they're just following our example when they turn in that direction.
Yeah.
But the kid wants to have a meaningful personal relationship with their parents, and that means undivided attention. And you can't do that and be messing with your phone.
Hear more from Dr. Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. By the way, as a result of that shooting of Adam Toledo, according to police reports, the Latin Kings put out a contract on every police officer's head and instructed their gang members to shoot police on sight. Yeah. Shoot police on sight. That's a real solution, isn't it? And you've got idiots like Rashida Tlaib running around talking about end policing. Stop. Just get rid of police altogether and replace it with what? The Communist Politburo? These folks, they need to get a grip. We can't live in this country without police because there are bad people who do bad things. And by the way, I've got a researcher working on this. I want to try to get as much information as I can on all the children that thugs killed, not only we'll focus on last year, but just last year. I can remember four or five right off the top of my head, kids killed by thugs. And those thugs happen to be black. But that's not important, is it? That some kid sleeping in his bed is shot to death by some wicked thug out in the street trying to cap somebody because they've violated his drug territory, or they owe him money, or they just had a beef, and some innocent child is shot dead in his bed. We don't need protests over that. No, we don't need riots over that. We don't need riots over anything. You understand? But we don't want to get. Oh, that's not. That happens. But here, police are chasing a teenager who's got a gun that he has been firing. And when he gets shot dead in that horrible situation, nobody says, why was this 13-year-old out on the streets with a gun? No. At 2:30 in the morning, no. Oh, this is terrible. It's racial discrimination again. Folks, this stuff is utterly ridiculous. Pray for our police officers, pray for our country, and take a stand. You know, I say, stand up, step up, speak up. I cannot be silent while this carnage happens in these communities, but every time a police officer gets into a difficult and dangerous situation that costs the life of some person who was doing wrong, all police officers are racist, and they need to be dismantled, and they need to be defunded, and we need to do away with it. We've got the patients running the asylum. Because that's exactly what Rashida Tlaib and her little four horsewomen of the apocalypse constitute. Patients in the insane asylum. Okay, let's come back to your calls, get as many of them as we can between now and the time we've got to go. You've been very patient. Rick in Georgia, welcome. You're on, Wick. Rick, are you there? Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, in January, I turned 64 years old, and for more than 64 years now, I have woke up every morning. Now, would you tell me what it means to woke?
No, I can't. I can't tell you what it means to woke. Because I don't think even the people who claim to be woke know what it means to woke. So, but listen, thank God, Rick, that you wake up and have woken up. By the way, what date in January is your birthday?
The 8th.
The 8th. Well, I'm the 13th, so we're both January babies. Rick, thank you. Listen, thank you so much for the call, Rick.
People born in January.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. All right. Let's go to Melissa in Oklahoma. Melissa, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. How are you
How
today?
Are you?
I'm blessed.
I'm good.
Good.
Well, I'm not that good. I just wanted to make a comment about the defunding the police because I come from a small town in Oklahoma, and just last night at 7 o'clock, my niece's boyfriend was stabbed to death at a park on Main Street in the town I grew up in because we don't have policemen there.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's sad. She's 15, and she shouldn't have to go through a tragedy, or his family have to go through a tragedy like this because we don't have policemen around to. And it was a 15-year-old kid that done it.
Just wow. See?
Out of nowhere, just come down and started trouble and stabbed him.
And now, Melissa, was there any racial implication to this?
No. No, they was all white. The kid was troubled. Just last week, they called, we call it the projects, but it's actually Indian housing. The Light Horse police came out because he was out there waving a gun around at the kids where he lives. And the week before, the school was shut down because of this kid, but nothing's been done. And then now there's a dead kid because of it.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's this world has gone crazy.
Well, Melissa, listen, we will be, I encourage everybody to pray for you and pray for that young person and for that family. You got two families now undoubtedly devastated. One's lost. It was a young lady who got killed. Melissa? Well, one victim and one murderer. So it's a tragic situation. So let's just pray for them. But here again, folks, I asked whether there's any racial implication because that's the only time it matters. See, if it's a non-racial situation, who cares? Well, we ought to all care because these are our children. These are our people. These are our fellow Americans. This is our future, and we ought to all care. And so we pray for you. Folks, once again, proving the point, it's not the skin, it's the sin. Let's come to you, Anne of Mississippi. Anne, welcome.
Hey. I'm just calling about the George Floyd situation.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I watched the complete video on the internet, and I'm like you, if he had just cooperated and not tried to get out of the vehicle, and he stayed in that vehicle when they had him in there, it would have never happened. They had him in the vehicle. I watched the whole 1 hour and 5 minutes. But what they did was not right because
whenever
he went limp, they should have took their knee off of him.
I'll tell you something. You are absolutely right, Anne. I don't know whether he was high or he claimed he had anxiety and he didn't want to be in a closed space. And I understand that there are people who have claustrophobia and it scares them half out of their wits to be in a closed space. I understand that. They could have perhaps worked out something with him and said, well, look, we're going to get a mental health worker down here or, you know, just made him behave so that they knew they had him under control. But I think this Officer Chauvin, I think there's something, former Officer Chauvin, I think there's something, Chauvin, I guess it is, something wrong with him because he was just so nonchalant about it. It's not like he was upset and concerned. He just had his hand in his pocket. He's looking around. I just didn't sense that this was an officer who had it all together in terms of his responsibility to the public at large. And to someone in his custody at that point. So there's a lot of discussion. I've watched the opening and closing statements. I haven't been able to do much else. But I'll tell you what, the opening and closing statements about this guy's behavior, because apparently even some police officers said, let's roll him over. We didn't hear that. Some police officers said, let's roll him over. In other words, you get him out of that prone position so that he's not laying on his lungs. And he can, and you know, then you're off his neck, presumably, and then he can breathe, and you just, you know, you've got him. I mean, he's on the ground. But Chauvin wouldn't do that, even when his fellow officers said that was what needed to be done. So I don't know what to say for him. We'll see how it all goes. But, you're right. If he had simply been calm and just endured that discomfort, he would probably be alive today. That's the message we've got to teach people. Even if the police maybe make a mistake and maybe they're wrong, if you stay calm, there's a good chance things will not escalate and get out of control. And that's not to excuse bad behavior when a police officer engages in it. It's simply to say it's the reasonable, common sense thing to do. Thank you so much for the call, Anne. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to Amy in Oklahoma. Amy, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Amy. You're on.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to give a comment about that 13-year-old boy. It's still in the street of Chicago at 2:30 in the morning. So yeah. Our pastor preached, we are in the series of 1 Samuel. And then he said about the spiritual life, our nation really needs a revival, but the spiritual yes. life of our nation depends on the character of the home. And the character Amen. Of the home depends on the spiritual life of the parents. So it's kind of like we need to go back to the basics, the home. If the parents will do their job to take care of their kids and teach their kids, maybe we don't have that much problem today.
Yeah, I mean, those of you listening to me right now know, if your parents or your grandparents, you weren't going to have your children running around in the streets at 2:30 in the morning. I mean, but you're right, Amy. Sadly, that sense of discipline is broken down. You know what, folks, I'm out of time. Aaron, Justin, I'll come to you all. I hope you'll call me back and I'll try to get you all on and make sure that we don't miss your comments next time. That's going to do it for us today, though, folks. We took a lot of time talking about this issue because it's permeating right now the culture and it's dominating the news because you've got the Chauvin trial. You've got the situation in Brooklyn, Minneapolis. You've got the Adam Toledo situation in Chicago. You've got the situation here in Windsor, Virginia. I mean, it's just all over the place. And we really do need some godly wisdom applied to these circumstances rather than the left's narrative, which seeks to divide us, seeks to dishonor and disrespect police and the sacrifice they make for us, and really is getting a lot of people killed by instilling bitterness and hatred and anger in them. Folks, I gotta go. But remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.